shark alligator, man.
As we broadcast, protesters with the Occupy San Francisco encampment are preparing for possible eviction by police. But reports just now coming in say police may have called off their
raid. Oakland protesters
meanwhile,
this morning
across
in Northern California,
last
take
night,
a look.
Thousands of people reclaimed the Occupy Oakland encampment in front of City Hall after police dispersed them Tuesday night using beanbag, projectiles, and tear gas. At last night's General Assembly, the Occupy Oakland encampment voted almost unanimously to call for a general strike on November 2nd, saying, quote, instead of workers going to work and students going to school, the people will converge on downtown Oakland to shut down the city. All banks and corporations should close down for the day or we will march on them, the statement said.
Officers were sent before dawn to kick out about 300 demonstrators who have been camped out in downtown Oakland. Some protesters threw rocks and bottles. Police responded in some cases by making arrests here in town.
Also in Oakland, an independent police review body will examine the clashes between riot police and protesters Tuesday that left an Iraq War veteran in critical condition. Scott Olson is a 24-year-old Iraq War vet. He was struck in the head by a police projectile. Video footage posted to YouTube shows a man identified as Scott Olson lying motionless and unresponsive in front of a police line after apparently having been hit by a tear gas canister. Several protesters gather around him, but a police officer can be seen throwing a device close to the group, which then explodes with a bright flash and loud bang, dispersing the protesters.
Involved in a video that went kind of viral. You really kind of vocally confronting the police about brutality.
Stop hurting these people, man! Why are y'all doing it to our people? I've been to Iraq 14 months for my people. You come over here and hurt them. They don't have guns. They don't have guns.
The video then cuts to footage of protesters carrying Olson away as blood streams down his face.
President campaigning for another chance, and an economy so troubled that some have taken to the streets. President Obama landed in San Francisco. A CBS News New York Times poll out just tonight finds most Americans are not sure what to make of the Occupy Wall Street movement that has spread from coast to coast.
Spokesperson for Highland Hospital in East Oakland has confirmed that Scott Olson remains in critical condition. He suffered from a fractured skull and brain swelling. One of Olson's friends, Adele Carpenter, told Reuters, "The irony is not lost on anyone here that this is someone who survived two tours in Iraq and is now seriously injured by the Oakland police force." 2006 to 2010 with the 3rd Battalion, 4th Marine Regiment. Acting Oakland Police Chief Howard Jordan told a news conference his department's investigating the injury to Olson as a level one incident, the highest level for an internal police inquiry. He declined to confirm whether Olson was struck with a projectile fired by police. Well, for more on what happened.
What was the spark that lit up in you that made you do that?
Well, I served 14 months in Iraq, and I come from a long line of people who served this country, and we all took an oath to protect and defend the people of this country.
Right.
And to see the police officers hurting unarmed civilians, you know, I felt that there was no honor and that somebody had to speak out against it, and who better than me?
Right.
And so what was the outcome of that? It was, the police officers obviously do not want to be arresting someone in uniform like yourself.
Well, the outcome, we will see the outcome later on, but, you know, hopefully I feel like maybe the NYPD maybe saw that video and said, you know, we might want to calm down a little bit, you know. There is really, honestly, no honor in hurting these people. We're just out here peacefully protesting for our rights as citizens. You know, the Constitution is made to protect us, but it's not working for us. It's working for big companies who have the money to fund, you know, political organizations and political parties. So.
Protesters in New York, followed by arrests. This as several hundred people march in the city's streets to show solidarity with fellow activists in Oakland, California, who suffered a severe crackdown by riot squads. Well, RT's Maria Portnoy is following developments in New York and joins us now live. But Marina, what more do we know about these latest developments?
Well, the latest developments to come from the New York City Police Department is that at least 12 people, if not more, have been arrested thus far as this demonstration in New York City has been taking place for hours now. At least 500 activists of Occupy Wall Street have been walking or were walking through Lower Manhattan to show their solidarity with the protesters from Oakland, California.
School of Journalism. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! I want to begin with Jesse, because you were on the scene on Tuesday night. Can you describe what time it was that Scott was hit and exactly what happened when you came upon him?
Well, it was about 7:45. People had marched at 5, and by the point that the first tear gas and concussion grenades were used, people had been marching for over 2 hours. At the time, there was a large group of people standing at 14th and Broadway, which is the intersection right in downtown Oakland, closest to Oscar Grant Plaza. The police had given an order to disperse, but there was no aggressive behavior towards the police. It was basically just a standoff. People were standing around. all of a sudden, just an instant with no real warning, concussion grenades went off and tear gas canisters went off all around us. I was right in the middle of the intersection, and it was very shocking because you just heard the explosions in every direction all around you.
Ago. Many people, of course, injured there in a violent clash between police officers and activists. But here in New York City, we saw many Occupy protesters take to the street, walk from their grounds in Zuccotti Park, all through Lower Manhattan, chanting, Oakland is New York, New York is Oakland.
WCOM Radio, WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough, 103.5. I'm Furious George. We are broadcasting in solidarity with all the Occupy Everywhere protests going on. So, as well as, you know, we gotta especially acknowledge our solidarity with Scott Olson, who was pegged in the head with a rubber bullet or tear gas canister or something. So, anyway, this show is dedicated to you, buddy. Get better. Everyone else who happens to be listening to this, either in downtown Chapel Hill Carborough, maybe online, we got some online listeners or folks who are downloading this podcast from all over the world. We do this because Micropod Radio is one way to kind of, you know, stick the eye in the beast a little bit. So we're going to stick him a little bit with a little bit more hip-hop and underground beats, as well as spliced in some stuff relating to the Occupy Wall Street protests. As we've been spotlighting for the last 6 weeks since it started, first week, Furious has been on it. And if you want to learn more about the protests, of course, there's some cool stuff out there, like go to the globalrevolution.com. Live broadcasts, live web streams of what's going on. But don't do that until the show's over. Or you can do both at the same time. That's what I do, actually. So, if you want to learn more about Furious George, go to furiousg.blogspot.com or check out wcomfm.org. You'll learn all about our fun stuff that we do here, including what I'm going to do to you right next, including just throw some of this brand new hip-hop that you probably haven't heard, Dylon, Pixel Blossom song, and we got some other cool stuff that we're going to play that you probably have not heard, including some stuff from Mono, Polly, DJ Nobody, some other folks. If you want to give us a call here at the studio, it's 929-9601. I might even be able to entertain your requests. But right now, the show is going out to the folks who are on the front lines. I'm Furious.
Now, as this massive group was walking through Manhattan, there were helicopters flying overhead. We saw riot police come out, an endless stream of police officers and police cars following the group around. People were emerging from bars all along Manhattan to ask what was going on and then voicing their support for the Occupy movement. Some people were even seen getting out of yellow cabs. Uh, and walking along with demonstrators. But of course, as with every Occupy protest, there were clashes between police officers and activists. There were some scenes of police officers arresting some activists and at some point taking them down to the ground. Some of the activists were walking with orange netting. It was unclear if they that orange netting was obtained by the New York City Police Department from the officers or if they brought that netting on their own. And of course, we know that this is netting that the NYPD has used to catch and arrest the Occupy Wall Street activists in previous weeks. Now, this is 6 weeks into a movement that has grown larger and louder, not just in New York City, but across the entire country.
Say they were given little warning before police began firing tear gas canisters to break up their demonstration.
Medic!
One of the police canisters allegedly hit this man, critically injuring him.
What's your name?
Scott Olson is a 24-year-old Iraq War veteran. He is now in a medically induced coma as doctors determine how best to treat the swelling in his brain. The tensions began building between Oakland police and the Occupy movement early on Tuesday when city officials dismantled the protesters' camp where they had been for over 2 weeks. But several hours later, when a group of roughly 1,000 attempted to re-establish the camp, they say they were met by police armed with tear gas, rubber bullets, and even stun grenades.
Kicked them out of their homes, has stolen their pensions, has taken away their benefits. All we're trying to say is, it's our right, it's freedom of speech.
The system does not serve me. The system was never set up to serve me. The system was set up to keep the rich in power, oppress the middle class.
Admit tear gas was used to clear the area, but deny using excessive force. Police claim it was the protesters who escalated the confrontation by throwing bottles, rocks, and even paint cans at the officers.
We felt that the deployment of gas was necessary in order to protect our officers. And
being told the demonstrations are winding down right now in Zuccotti Park, but there is still a police presence there. The police presence is diminishing from what we understand, but this is just the latest developments and demonstrations that we're seeing in this ongoing movement.
North on Broadway, but people went in every direction. The other two intersections, people left. At that time, I didn't see that Scott had been struck. And in fact, the tear gas makes it very hard for you to see. You can't see. So people fell back about a half a block down Broadway. Then somebody said that somebody had been hurt. And so a number of people ran back up into the tear gas. And he was lying on the sidewalk. And there were a couple of medics already with him. And they said, we need to get him farther out because it was very unsafe at that location. And so
Occupy Wall Street protest has been engaged in marches and picketing in New York City and a number of other cities across the country. But recently, it has spawned a new series of protests. This is the epicenter of the Occupy Main Street movement.
Some of us rich folk got together at our annual Polo and Caviar Gala and we decided enough's enough. And we're not going to let these Main Street fin cats gobble up all that extra money that we deserve to have.
Why do you think you deserve it?
Because we're rich. We deserve whatever we want. Is that a real question?
These protesters have been camped out here for the last 3 weeks. They refuse to leave until their demands are met.
Are you aware that the poorest 50% of Americans pay nothing in income taxes?
We don't pay any either, but it's because of loopholes.
And because we're smart enough to use the American tradition of hiding our money in offshore bank accounts.
It's what George Washington would have wanted.
Though small in numbers, the Occupy Main Street protesters have already drawn high-profile support, like a $600 million donation from the Koch brothers and appearances from celebrities like the captain from Captain and Tennille.
Love will keep us together.
We speak for the real Americans, the bankers. The financial speculators, the high-end yacht salesmen. Oh, the media's too scared to cover this protest. Oh, I haven't seen one single story on this in the newspaper that I own.
And Marina, it looks like rather than tolerating the protests, police in more cities are targeting them and cracking down. What's going on?
That's right. In the past day or so, we have seen a huge crackdown. Now, in Atlanta, an Occupy demonstration took place. At least 50 activists were arrested there. But it was in Oakland, California, that the scenes, many say, look like something of an urban war zone. In Oakland, California, there were at least 350 of them, got into clashes with the police. Now, the police fired tear gas and rubber bullets at the crowd, trying to remove the activists from a campground that they established 2 weeks ago in front of City Hall in Oakland, California. Now, we saw over 500 riot police violently try to evict the activists. At least 97 protesters were arrested, but we do know that there was one man shot in the face by a rubber bullet. There was an Iraqi war veteran by the name of Scott Olson. He's a former Marine, two-time Iraq war veteran. He is now in critical condition from what's being reported. He was shot in the head by a police projectile. And right now, he's in the hospital in critical condition. He was one of the many Iraq war veterans that were peacefully participating in the Occupy Oakland March. There were many other people to suffer injuries while these clashes took place between police officers and the protesters.
Was that that the media was portraying this as something that it wasn't, as far as like weed smoking hippies, and you know, that they're out there with no message. And you know, just being a citizen, I understood that, you know, I feel like there's a lot of things that are wrong with this country now. I felt like, you know, this is the time to actually, you know, while we have the voice, to, you know, keep the movement going and get it strong, you know what I mean? So
arrested with Dr. Cornel West and some steps of the Supreme Court last week, and we talked in jail a lot about the word revolution.
Yeah.
He talks about it as something that's a marathon and not a sprint, and it's something that can happen nonviolent when you have the numbers like this.
Yeah.
Is that where you're coming from? Do you think we're involved in a revolution right now?
Of course it's a revolution. This is the revolution of all revolutions, and you know, the more people that come out and support it, the better the outcome will be. But we have to get out there. Everybody has to get out there, and, you know, and put feet on the ground and you know, voices in the air.
Percent of the country's money that has been unfairly pumped out of the hands of the mega wealthy.
It's time we took this country back. Did you know that honest, hardworking billionaires can't even use children on their assembly lines anymore? Poppycock! I'm sorry, I was being rude. Care for some baby panda?
Oh, look at me! I'm the middle class.
Oh, but I need health insurance for my family
in our two-bedroom home.
You want health care so bad, why don't you just buy it from the hospital?
Yeah!
The police are getting out of control here! They've smudged my shoe!
But recently, it has spawned a new series of protests. This is the epicenter of the Occupy Main Street movement.
Some of us rich folk got together at our annual Polo and Caviar Gala, and we decided enough's enough. Now we're not going to let these Main Street thin cats gobble up all that extra money that we deserve to have.
By Chicago police overnight as Occupy Chicago protesters defied orders to leave Grant Park. They set up camp with tents near Michigan and Congress as part of their demonstration against corporate greed and high unemployment.
ABC 7's Evelyn Holmes here with more on the next steps for the protesters.
Moreover, Tara, members of the Occupy Chicago group say they don't intend to provoke confrontation, but wish to use civil disobedience to inform the public about their movement. Still, about 175 protesters were arrested after they set up a makeshift tent city in Grant Park. Similar groups nationwide have established bases in city parks, with officials often working to accommodate them, but not here in Chicago.
Alone.
No,
I want to go.
Solidarity.
Just hours after nearly 200 members of Occupy Chicago are arrested, the group vows to keep their protest alive.
Well, it's for sure is that we're going to continue our occupation here on LaSalle and Jackson for an indefinite period of time.
Supporters say the early morning arrest of group members as they demonstrated marked a new phase of civil disobedience for the movement.
We
The only thing that will change it is if there's a change in the mass consciousness of the average American. And the average American realizes things I'm talking about, which are basically the facts.
The occupation is not leaving!
The arrests, which began around 2 a.m., came after protesters tried to camp out in Grant Park without a permit. That followed a march of some 2,000 demonstrators. Many refused to take down tents and leave the area. Organizers admit not seeking a permit to be in the park, which closed at 11 o'clock at night.
Shame on you!
$30 billion in bonuses coming out. AIG, $254 billion. I mean, these numbers are incomprehensible.
There's something that we need to do.
The laws of this land enslave people to its king. A king that offers nothing in return.
She's got the love stand.
We are fighting to save our homes, our jobs, our health
care, our pensions, and struggling
to keep our
foot on
the middle class and get into the
middle class.
Robin Longstride, also known as Robin of the Hood.
Can you get paid, son? Or are we get paid, man?
And these corporate organisations keeping all these profits for themselves. They're all up there in their nice swanky houses, nice cars, doing all their parties. And we, us 99% of the population, are actually living off baked beans. We even know families that are counting the baked beans on their children's plates to make sure they've just got enough to eat, just to keep them alive. It's not fair enough. We need a break. These taxes have to come down. These rates for mortgage have to come down. Some of us can't even afford their own home.
To be honest, I and I think lots of other people around in the UK and beyond are getting tired of seeing all of the problems with the financial industry, which are affecting all of us. And people are starting to get off their sofas and actually do something about it.
But there's a huge presence of riot-equipped police who've now sealed off the entire block around Oakland City Hall. And the remains of the Occupy Oakland campsite.
nervous feeling, but it kind of feels like something's finally being done. Like we're, like people are waking up.
I have no idea. And that's what's really exciting, not knowing what's gonna happen. To come down here at first, I was skeptical, and now over the last couple weeks, just seeing everybody's dedication and drive, it's inspiring. You can't help it.
This should be as inclusive a movement as possible. The goal might be a few bits of legislation right now, but if we have more and more people joining in, there's so much strength in numbers that it might be something that is a much greater goal than we're going for right now.
When Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus, or when four black students sat down at a lunch counter in 1960, no one knew what would happen. No one expected that 4 years later there'd be a comprehensive Civil Rights Act, or that 1 year after that there would be the Voting Rights Act. Even if nothing else happens here, even if everyone goes home today, it's enough, because what started here is going to continue in other ways, and I think it's going to continue in other ways we can't predict.
Looking for good is a job. We're going to Tiffany's.
We celebrated our first month's anniversary yesterday. We're trying to figure out exactly where to go and what to do. You know, this is kind of like, you know, we were going to have a mom and pop store to sell a few hamburgers, and all of a sudden we find out there's an international demand for them. When I saw the Brooklyn Bridge march go off the way it did, I decided if NYPD is going to use military tactics against my fellow citizens, I need to get up there and help stand shoulder to shoulder with them. This is the proudest I've ever been to be an American in my life. Yes. I'm astounded. I mean, I'm amazed. I walked in on my first day here was Tuesday, and I got out of cab, got in the airport, came down here, and a general assembly was just starting. And I watched it. My jaw was just dropped. I was pure democracy, and I'd never seen it before, never thought I would see it. It was like magic. I just was in awe. Preparing, gearing up for the winter. We're going to be here for a while.
Brothers put together. He did, in fact, embrace that kind of affirmation, but most importantly, he lived on the ground, tied to love, tied to justice, always part of a movement, trying to bring people of all colors, all cultures, all civilization, all sexual orientations, and all religions, or our agnostic and atheistic brothers and sisters, too. That Martin Luther King Jr. knew that he had to connect public interest to the plight of the weak and the vulnerable in this society and around the world.
You went to jail. Symbolism, is that what it was?
Symbolic in terms of a gesture. It wasn't symbolic in terms of the 24 and a half hours inside the clinker, though, brother. That was real. With the shackles on my ankles and the handcuffs, it was very real. But with 18 others, and of course we mixed with the brothers and sisters of various colors, disproportionately black, there in the jail. party, mediocre, mendacious, mean-spirited. They see a Democratic Party not strong enough, oftentimes too spineless, oftentimes too milquetoast, and they're looking for other venues to see who's speaking on behalf of poor and working people. But he was also committed to civil disobedience. It was very clear that when he saw the status quo was characterized by paralysis, a certain kind of decay, and even a certain kind of rot even, he said we must renew it. We renew it by what? Bearing witness. Take, for example, what you were talking about in regard to Gaddafi. Assassination, murder, execution, killing. Is that the way to conduct a foreign policy? Why did Abe Lincoln say, let us not execute Jefferson Davis? He had a wisdom there. Is it the case that U.S. allies, be they tyrants like Pinochet in Chile or tyrants like Mubarak in Egypt, should they be executed? Should they be murdered? No, there has to be another way. And the problem is, though, Brother Ed, is that, see, we're only as strong as our opponents. And if, in fact, we use the same criteria of the Republican Party for Democratic foreign policy, then we're going to find ourselves in the same cycle of execution, cycle of assassination, and more cycle of collective punishment. Because, as you know, those drones do actually, when they drop those bombs, they're killing innocent members of families, even though it may be tied to a terrorist in that home. They're killing the daughter, the wife, yeah, the sister. That's wrong. They're still innocent as human beings, but they're in a family with a terrorist. And so this issue of the cycle of violence that Martin Luther King Jr. was concerned about is something that the Occupy movement is wrestling with right now in 1,000 cities and 82 countries and 5 continents. And I'm telling you, Brother Ed, we know. Republicans would say, if Barack Obama walked on water, they would say, he can't swim. Okay, that's a given. But at the same time, we've got to have a different criteria than a Republican Party. We can't just simply have the ricochet back and forth, the mimicking of two mean-spirited Republicans, Democrats who we hope would do better, but we know they're tied to the oligarchs too in their own way. The Occupy movement says there must be another way of thinking about this.
Friday in Yemen, we successfully killed terrorist and operational commander Anwar al-Awlaki. That was the time to make a change you can believe happened in the blink of an eye, a change from YouTubing jihadists to smoking soot pile on the ground in a foreign land. Now some may say he was born in New Mexico, schooled in Colorado, and was a citizen of the USA. Some may say, no matter how evil, he had constitutional rights. Well, I say it's time for a change. A change from due process to decree. A change from rights to reality. As a constitutional scholar and Nobel Peace Prize winner, I say Americans do not have to make a false choice between hellfire and tomahawk, transparency and secrecy. I will make that choice. I am the one we have been waiting for. More Bush than Bush. More compromise than Constitution. Now, Americans everywhere have a chance. a chance to be killed if the president decides they should be killed. It is this chance I leave to you and to Presidents Perry, Palin, or any other presidents our nation may know. The time has come to change hope. Good night, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Of two mean-spirited Republicans, Democrats who we hope would do better, but we know they're tied to the oligarch too.
Seeing all of the problems with the financial industry, which are affecting all of us, and people are starting to get off their sofas and actually do something about it.
We called them panics. We had different names for them. For 140 years, the pattern is just unmistakable. Then we hit the Great Depression. And coming out of the Great Depression, we put three new regulations in place. Glass-Steagall, which divides our community banks from the Wall Street investment banks. FDIC insurance and some SEC regulations so you can invest on Wall Street and they can't cheat you too directly. For 50 years, we have no bank failures, no major crises. It works. It gets to be the early 1980s. We go with this idea of let's get rid of regulation, and what happens? Late 1980s, savings and loan crisis. Should have been a warning. Late 1990s, remember long-term capital management? Yeah. The hedge fund should have been a warning. Early 2000s, Enron should have been a warning, but we let it go. And where do we end up? In the biggest crisis since the Great Depression.
Fusing together of the idea of the faith of with inherently risky speculative activity is, in my judgment, unwise. And we are deliberately and certainly with this legislation moving towards inheriting much greater risk in our financial services industry.
have no other choice because the protesters were throwing rocks and bottles at the officers. City's officials say Oakland police, two Oakland police officers were injured, but there were a lot of injuries to be seen on the part of the activists that were participating in this demonstration in Oakland, California.
What exactly was his condition as you tried with others to carry him?
So we picked him up, and my initial, I told him, you're going to be okay. My name's Jesse. Can you tell me your name? Because I knew it was a terrifying situation, and I wanted to comfort him. But he didn't respond at all. His eyes were open. He just stared blankly, and that was when I realized, you know, there was blood coming out of, it was a little hard to say, but his eyes, his mouth, his nose, there was a lot of blood on his face. And it was a terrifying, you know, moment. I mean, he was alive, and we didn't know how badly he was hurt. And he didn't speak back to me, and I tried a few times because I thought, oh, he'll be able to speak back. And he never spoke. We got him around the sidewalk, and then there were, the medics said they were EMTs and they had experience, so that was when I left. But he, yeah, he was seriously hurt.
I want to play the videotape that has been posted to YouTube. There were two different ones. One is the first, when you all got him, and it shows Scott's bloody face as you were carrying him away. And then we'll play the other, where people went to try to get him, and the flashbang grenade was hit right at the area where he was lying. Let's go to the first, where you got him. Radio listeners, of course, you can see this on television, but as you can see, just how it how it sounds, exactly as it looks, and that is a war zone. The other video is Scott lying on the ground, not yet taken by all of you, the video we just had. And this is when people ran up, we're going to play it as I speak, ran up to try to help him. What do you understand at this point was the projectile that was used that first hit Scott and this flashbang grenade when people came to try to pick him up?
I mean, there's no way I can really say precisely what happened. There were tear gas projectiles that were shot in and fell all around us. The flashbang grenades were thrown and they went off again all around us. And meanwhile, you can also hear on the video that they're shooting some kind of, you know, some kind of other thing, what they were calling them beanbag rounds. Some people were calling them rubber bullets, but those were ricocheting and flying through the air all at once. And in fact, you know, just to correct you, there, he actually got carried twice. There was the initial group that carried him from right in front of the police barricade, which is where he was standing, just down the street a little bit. But then for whatever reason, they weren't able to carry him all the way to safety. And I think the reason is because there was so much tear gas and so much, so many projectiles flying through the air. So I first became aware of him. He had been carried away from the barricade, but not all the way to safety.
You're from Long Island, I'm from Long Island too. You're coming in. I was arrested with Dr. Cornel West, who's
some steps in the Supreme Court last week, and we talked in jail a lot about the word revolution. He talks about it as something that's a marathon, not a sprint, and it's something that can happen nonviolent when you have the numbers like this. Is that where you're coming from? Do you think we're involved in a revolution right now?
Of course it's a revolution. This is the revolution of all revolutions, and you know, the more people that come out and support it, the better the outcome will be. But we have to get out there. Everybody has to get out there, you know, and put feet on the ground and you know, voices in the air.
WCOM Radio, I'm Furious George, going to be signing off here relatively soon. Shout outs to all the Oakland protesters and the New York folks and the folks down here just down the street over at Occupy Chapel Hill and everybody else in between who's happened to be doing something right for the right cause, that being global nonviolent revolution. I'm Furious George. I'll be back relatively soon. Stick around for some bodaciousness. This is Micro Power Radio.
There's a message for
I'm not going to do that.